Good morning and welcome. Char was playing Be Still and Know. We need to sing that song. Let's begin our service with that song, Be Still and Know. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, Welcome to this last Sunday of June. It's always the time of year that signals the end of a school year, completion of exams, moving on to the next grade, perhaps another school, possibly finishing high school and needing to decide where to from here. We trust that no matter whether you were included in any of the categories mentioned above, or if you've graduated just a few years ago or many years ago, we trust that you will feel welcome here. We am glad that you have been able to join us. Just a brief look at some of our announcements. We have some names mentioned in our bulletin as well as those graduating from within our midst. I think Shaylin Fair and Morgan Fair graduating today from MCI. Tyson Fair was this last Friday. And others from post-secondary institutions, Justin Rempel from U of W, Robin Friesen, and Kenley Friesen from U of M. Are there some others that we inadvertently missed? Do you know? Is there somebody else that we should include? Someone else who wanted to graduate who didn't? Or okay. It's good to hear that Tenley was able to complete a tough week of treatments in Winnipeg and elsewhere. We certainly recognize the combination of chemo and steroids is not a healthy one, and we trust that that will also pass. We pray in the midst of all the upheaval that the family would continue to find yourself centered in God, that faith would be renewed and revived, and fresh courage for the road ahead. Trust that that would be yours in abundance as you carry on. Travis and Ashley's daughter, Skylar, has not always been doing well. We've been lost touch with her for a little bit, and I was contacting Ashley, and Skylar has been contacting all kinds of infections that have come along, and her tumors are increasing in number, and she's battling with thrush and all kinds of things, and the doctors are not quite sure what best treatment options are needing to have happened here. So they certainly appreciate our ongoing prayer support for their situation. Just a couple of items on our insert. If anyone would still like to submit a picture to our church directory, certainly welcome. Marie, have you still got room for that and still open to that? Yep. Okay. Please contact Ray or Werner. Let's see if we can finish up collecting those pictures as we need to put them in there. Also still take note of anybody working at camp this summer. The announcements there pertain for your information. And just one correction on the church calendar. Let's change the time for DVBS. It's not 6:45, but let's start at 6:30. 6:30 to about 8:45. And just take note of the change of that time. Jerry has an announcement, and Seth, please.
I just wanted to make two quick notes. We have opportunity to work on a cabin at Camp Assiniboia through MDS. They're looking for a team of about five people from July 1st to August 7th. It's 1 week. So if that week is free for you and you're interested in doing some building, please contact me. If there's not enough interest, then we won't go ahead with it. But if there are some people that are willing to do that, I'd love to work with you for a week there. And the other one is we're also still looking for a junior youth leader for fall, a male junior youth leader, because Josh is going off to out of town, and so he won't be back for next fall. Junior youth happens Monday evenings at 7 p.m., and you can be 18 to 99, and you could still be a junior youth leader. So come on down. Let me know if you're interested. Thanks.
Good morning. I would like to invite you all to, in the next 9 weeks of summer, during July and August, to come before Sunday school hour and to pray for our region here in southern Manitoba. What I'd like to do is to meet together in the ladies' Sunday school classroom before the Sunday school hour for 45 minutes and pray for specifically God's people in southern Manitoba. And we believe that the Lord moves at the sound of our voice. Amen. And so we want to ask Him to release His kingdom and more of what He wants for His people in our area. And so I'd love to have as many of us there as can possibly make it. And so we're going to meet at 8:30 for July and August starting next Sunday. And so what we'll do is we'll have mostly praying together aloud as a group, and also doing some prayer on our own as well in that room. And it's going to be really good. And so, yeah, we just want to really spend that time praying for our area and for each other. And there's people in our lives and in this area that are going through tough stuff like us and need to be uplifted in prayer. And I think for me, I want to do this because I know my prayer life, when I try and do it on my own, it tends to be minimal because I don't make a priority. So I just hope that this can be helpful for us to meet together where we have a time set aside to pray for specifically the church. And we know that God is wanting to move through the church to reach the lost as well. So come on out. We'll meet at 8:30 in the Lady Sunday School classroom, what used to be the old youth room in the Sunday School wing here. We'll start promptly at 8:30. If you come a little after, don't worry about it. We will have started, but please join us. So we'll start at 8:30, and we'll go till just after 9 so that we can be ready for Sunday school. So starting next week, going through July and August, we'll meet to pray for our region at 8:30. So come on out.
Thanks, Seth. Any other announcements? Jerry's whispering to me that Andrea's back. Where? Who? Oh, somebody's pointing. Ah, welcome back. There you are. Good to see you. Yes, welcome here. Are there other visitors that we should be acknowledging this morning? Anybody else? Ah, hey, Dave. Good to see you. Yeah, good, good. Somebody else is pointing. Ray, who are you pointing at? Oh, okay, welcome here. So all these people in the back I can't see. Good, good. Welcome here. It reads like such a strange list of characteristics, these Beatitudes. If you had a manual with a checkoff list of items that you would consider as important to your cause or desired qualities in your staff, would they include the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, and peacemakers, and those persecuted for righteousness' sake? I was reading additional material this past week on doctor-assisted suicide, and I was struck by the language. The language had so much to do with taking control, entitlement, personal rights, and the right to choose. And then I read that alongside Jesus, who comes and talks about denying oneself, taking up your cross, following him. And then he says, you lose your life, and you will find it. If you strive to forever save it, you're going to lose it. Those words in the Sermon on the Mount and the whole gospel story is so different, so other, so out of the ordinary. And we worship this God who invites us to come and see, to follow me. Here's the pattern. Here's the example. Here's what my kingdom looks like. It looks and sounds backwards, but it leads to life, now and for all of eternity. Trust me. I found the prayer for the week to be a challenge, to read out loud, to think about, and to discover the power of its words. I would invite us to read it together as our prayer. Let's turn. It's on the bottom page of your bulletin, prayer for the week. Let's read together. Lord, give us grace to follow your example. Create in us the desire and will to put the needs of others before our own. Take us and all we have. Do with us as you will. Send us wherever you will. And use us as you will. We surrender ourselves and all we possess absolutely and entirely, unconditionally, and forever to your control. Amen. Esther, would you lead us?
Good morning. Try again. Good morning. And when we invite God to do these things that we just read about in this prayer, I'm encouraged that I'm not giving myself up to somebody who has only bad intentions for me, and I stand on the fact that God is good. So this morning I invite you to join with me in the hymn 528, Come Let Us All Unite to Sing That God Is Good. And because he is good, we don't need to be afraid to allow him to do those things in our life. Please stand. just yesterday, Matt texted me, my son from California. He said, "Mom, how's your week?" And we sort of do this accountability thing on Saturday and Sunday. And I said, "Well, my week went like this. I made it through. Neither I nor the people around me had major meltdowns. But I didn't read anything this week. I didn't journal anything this week. And I didn't pray. And I was going to write, I didn't pray as much as I should have. And I realized, actually, this is not about a should. I didn't pray as much as I would have liked to. And I'm glad and I'm gracious that I'm glad that God is gracious and that I can reset and restart again this week." And I'd like you to turn in your hymn books to number 586. "I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he has made known. And even when I have a week where I make it through and I did okay, but I didn't. And God is gracious and he invites me to press restart and to start again. I know whom I believed, and my God will see me through again, and I'm thankful for that." 586, let's do all four verses, please.
Ask the ushers, please, to take this morning's offering. Harley, would you play for us? Thanks, Artie. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we recognize your insistent invitation to come and experience a new form of life in you. Yet when we are honest, we recognize how reluctant, how slow to respond we can be. We lament how in our world issues of dispute are often believed to be resolved by the use of violence. Walls of distrust are created and strengthened. Distance and separation becomes the order of the day. And fear and suspicion become valued commodities used to unsettle and create more anxiety. And so we bring to you our uncertainties, our lack of trust. And we ask that you would forgive our indifference and our apathy, our longing to go it alone. And that instead you would instill in us a renewed vision of what ought to be and for what is possible through your Holy Spirit, through your word, through prayer, and through faith. We pray for a calm and gentle spirit to rule in the hearts and minds of Travis and Ashley, for Cody and Jamie. Would you send a portion of your spirit to rest upon them, to bring to them your peace and a deepening awareness always of your presence. May those in our care homes and those serving in places further away come to recognize the continued sufficiency of your grace. And for all those who are graduating, we thank you for the opportunity of study, of learning about this fascinating world which you have created. May they know themselves to be continually blessed by opportunities of service for you and your kingdom, in whatever form that takes. To you we give our praise and our thanksgiving. Amen. Shania has prepared a children's story, and we invite the children to come and hear what she has prepared. Please come.
Morning, guys. So in this bag I have a few things, and I want you guys to tell me if this is what you would want for your birthday or for Christmas. Okay, so first thing I have is a can of chicken. Would you want this for your birthday or for Christmas? No, probably not. It's not the best gift, but what about a plate? Would you want that? No? Oh, okay. I have a fork and a cup. You want that for your birthday or Christmas? No? Oh, wow, you guys are crazy. I have a box of Jell-O. Do you want that? No? I mean, Jell-O's pretty good. I also have a can of stew. This is called Smokin' Bacon Cheese Sliders. Campbell's Chunky. Oh, yeah, that's real good. And the best, I saved the best for last. I have a bag of raisins. Do you guys want that? No? Oh, you guys are no fun. Oh, raisins are so good. Just kidding, I don't really like raisins. Okay. So, if your mom and dad gave you that, would you say thank you? No? It'd be kind of hard. But sometimes when we don't get gifts we want, it's really hard to say thank you. Okay, so in the Bible, there are these things called the Beatitudes, which is when Jesus called people blessed who aren't normally called that. The things I showed you were food, right? Okay, so did you know that there are people in the world that don't have enough money to pay for food? And when your mom and dad go grocery shopping, they buy food, which we are very happy for. But in some places, when people get food, they are so grateful that they thank Jesus for a really long time. I mean, if our mom and dad bought us raisins and said, okay, well, now you have to be thankful for that, it's kind of hard because raisins aren't very good. But we love them anyways. So, next time you receive a gift that maybe isn't exactly what you wanted, you should still be very thankful because Jesus appreciates it so, so much. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for all the gifts you give us, not just the physical gifts, but eternal gifts. We want to thank you so much for all the wonderful work you do here on earth and for all the miracles you perform every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Love it. Those are my kind of people. The little ones, I mean. Big ones, too. We need those, too, but the little ones. I've chosen two more hymns. Both of them speak about moving on and moving forward. I'm really excited about the sessions we're going to have in the next while on the Beatitudes. And as I've started preparing a little bit and thinking a little bit, there's some stuff in there. I'm being sideswiped already, and I'm only starting. So if you're up for a bit of a challenge, do a little bit of pre-study and a bit of thinking about the Beatitudes. They maybe don't actually say what you think they say at all. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of lessons we come up with over the summer. The bigger part of that is we want to move forward. The things that we're learning, we want to apply them to our life. I don't want to stay where I am. I want to move on. So turn in your hymn book, firstly, to page 582. I'm pressing on the upward way. And then we'll go from that one right into 585. We'll stop and announce it. But both of them speak about moving on, allowing God's work to be done in our lives. And I pray that that might be your desire this summer as well. Please stand, 582. Please stay standing and let's go to number 585. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow. Really focus on the words, beautiful words.
As has been mentioned, our summer focus will be on the Beatitudes taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Sunday school has been looking at memorizing these verses, and we have been asked as a congregation to participate in that memorization, and throughout the summer be looking at each one of these individually. So for this morning, as a brief introduction, and I know Jerry's going to spend a little bit of time speaking about this, I would ask that I'm going to read the first two verses and would invite you to join me as we read together from verses 3 to 12. I'll begin with verses 1 and 2. Seeing the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, let's repeat together. Blessed are the kingdom.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Let's
Good morning. Would you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are good and that you speak. God, we want to take some time to be silent before you and let you speak to our hearts and prepare us for what you want to say to us today. You know that each of us come from a different place, whether we're from the same village or town or not. But our lives are each slightly different. Yet your Spirit is within us, and you love us. So, Father, I ask that you would speak now as we stay silent. Father, in our culture of busyness, it can be hard to take a minute or 2 minutes to be quiet before you. And so, Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to do that this morning. And I pray that you would teach our hearts to surrender to you more every day. Amen. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing today? Good? Good. I'm doing good, too. I want to speak to you this morning about Pharisees, tax collectors, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what I titled my sermon, and I hope it makes sense to you by the time I'm done talking. But we'll see. We're going through the Beatitudes this summer, and I kind of got stuck, I think, on the first two verses, which read like this. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, and I thought about it for a little bit. What am I going to teach them about those two verses? I have no idea. But as I was preparing, the Lord kind of brought to my mind some things about the passage overall, and I thought that it would be good as an introduction to kind of talk a little bit about the Beatitudes as a chunk rather than the first two verses of Jesus going up on the mountain and teaching people, which is important, but we are not anywhere close to a mountain, and I'm not Jesus, so we're just going to go with this. I want to talk to you a little bit about a struggle that I have sometimes. And the struggle that I have, I wrote it down here as I struggle to often seek what I think will bring me happiness instead of what God says will bring me happiness. And this morning, I think His Spirit was telling me, actually, you often seek your own happiness more than righteousness. And I want to talk a little bit about happiness the way we see it, the way culture teaches us to view happiness and how we seek that, and righteousness and who God says happy people are, which is maybe going to make a little more sense later on. Some of the ways that I try to find happiness in my life, and maybe this is culture speaking, and maybe you do the same thing. We'll maybe talk about that a little bit later. But one of the ways I try to find my happiness and struggle with this is by getting more stuff, getting more money, getting more friends, having more fun, just more. I just want more, usually. And I think that more will make me happy. That's often one of the ways that I try to find happiness, is by getting more of whatever I think will make me happy. But in that struggle and in that seeking more, there are some lies that I'm believing. And one of the lies is that I do not have enough of whatever it is, fun, friends, money, happiness, or that more of this thing will make me happy, or more of this thing will make me happy, when really I don't think it's the lack of that particular thing that's causing an internal unhappiness or uneasiness in my soul. The truth is that in Philippians 4:19, Paul says, and my God will supply all that you need according to his riches and glory. And Psalm 23 talks about how the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I shall not be lacking anything. And so if we trust in the Lord, the reality isn't that we do not have enough. It's actually that there's something else going on. God has already given us everything we need. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, if you want to turn there, you can. Sorry, this is just taking some time. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says that his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So God has given us everything we need. And Matthew 6:33 reads, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." Referring to food, drink, and clothing, which he talks about in a few verses earlier than that. So the reality isn't that if I have more, I'll be happy, or if I have enough, I'll be happy. The reality is that in Jesus, I've been given more than enough. Another way that I try to find happiness is by putting myself above other people. And this can happen in all sorts of ways. I'd like to... there's some lies that I believe when I put myself above other people, or when I elevate myself. One of those lies is that I'm more important than they are. And Philippians has something to say about this too, if you turn to Philippians 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, "Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves." And something that Jesus has taught me is that I'm not that important. It's not about me. It's not about how good a speaker I am this morning out here. It's all about what he wants to do and what his Spirit is going to do. Because I cannot change people's hearts. I can't have perfect words that will make you guys better believers in Jesus. That just won't work. But I speak his truth and his Spirit works. It's not about me. And so when I put myself above other people, I say, I'm more important than you by whatever I do, whether I'm impatient with people, whether I'm upset at people when they don't do things my way. Those are ways sometimes that I put myself above others. Or a lie that I believe is that I'm more valuable than that person is. And 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the parts of the body and how each is important. And that we can't say that we're more important than a different part of the body, because if that part wasn't there, the body wouldn't work. Like if you have an arm, and your arm is moving, and one person's an elbow and one person's a hand, and the hand says, "I'm more important because I get used for all the fine detail stuff." And the elbow says, "But without me, you would not be able to do that." If the elbow's missing, it's just as important as the hand. And one is not more important than the other. And through Jesus, we're all offered the same grace. We're all offered the same right relationship with him. We're all offered the same opportunity. And so I'm not better than you, and you're not better than him or her or the other person. We're all offered the same grace from God. So don't we all tend to seek to find happiness in the ways the world promises to fulfill it, or to seek happiness instead of righteousness in our lives? We tend to compare our lives to those of others, thinking that, well, that person over there, they probably are happier than me because their life looks a lot better than mine does. I mean, did you see that person's garden? Like, they must have weeded for hours or paid somebody to, but it looks way nicer than my garden, so they must be happier than I am. Or that person's kids are way more well-behaved than my kids, so they must be happier than I am. Or whatever it ends up being. We often think that person over there has it good. Their car probably doesn't break down as many times as mine does. But maybe it does. But the flip side is that sometimes we can also look down on other people in order to try to make ourselves feel happier or feel better about the way our life is. At least my garden isn't as messy as that person's garden. Or at least my car is nicer than that person's car. Or at least my kids are a little more well-behaved than that person's kids. These are sometimes things that we do. I'd like to read a story about Pharisees and tax collectors now. If you go to Luke 18 with me. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. Two men went up to the temple complex to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee took his stand and was praying like this: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest and saying, God, turn your wrath from me, a sinner. I tell you, this one went down to his house justified rather than the other. Because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And in the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, it tells us a lot about God's examination, the way that he judges our hearts. And it reflects far too much of our own ridiculousness sometimes. God examines our hearts, but people often only look at outward appearances. We see how somebody's dressed on a Sunday morning or during the week or whatever, and we think, that person must be, like, they've got it together because they're wearing nice clothes. Man. But I think that God often cares more about the inner state of our heart than that of how we look to other people, how well tidy our garden is, or these sorts of things. And the outward state of our lives and the inward state of our hearts sometimes look very different. And I think the true way to happiness lies in addressing some of those heart issues, some of those inner life things, and not just in changing our outward life or the things about our outward life that we can control. So what does God say about seeking happiness, or what the true way to happiness is? I'd like to read two accounts of the Beatitudes now. I'm going to reread Matthew 5, 1 to 12, and then I'll go to Luke 6 and read 20 to 26. So if you want to get those ready. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, "The poor in spirit are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Those who mourn are blessed, for they will be comforted. The gentle are blessed, for they will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed, for they will be filled. The merciful are blessed, for they will be shown mercy. The pure in heart are blessed, for they will see God. The peacemakers are blessed, for they will be called sons of God. Those who are persecuted for righteousness are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult and persecute you, and falsely say every kind of evil about you, against you, because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And in Luke 6, starting at verse 20. Then looking up at his disciples, he said, "You who are poor are blessed, because the kingdom of God is yours. You who are now hungry are blessed, because you will be filled. You who now weep are blessed, because you will laugh. You are blessed when people hate you, when they exclude you, insult you, and slander your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Take note, your reward is great in heaven, for this is the way their ancestors used to treat the prophets." But then Luke goes on, and he says this: "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your comfort. Woe to you who are now full, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are now laughing, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for this is the way their ancestors used to treat the false prophets. That last verse really bugs me. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for this is the way their ancestors used to treat the false prophets. And I need to admit that I want people to speak well of me. I want people to say good things about me. I like being affirmed. Maybe you can relate to that. But I think that it's not that God is saying in this that it's people can't speak well of you ever. But I think what he's trying to say is that he's more concerned about the inner state of our heart and our obedience to him rather than how rich we are, how we have enough food. All these kinds of things are secondary in importance to where our heart is at and how we're submitted to him and his will. The word that comes up pretty often in these passages is blessed or blessed, which in Greek is translated, I'm going to pronounce this really bad, sorry, makarios or something like that. And it's defined by Strong's as happy, blessed, or to be envied, which is why I got thinking about the pursuit of happiness this morning. If these are the people, this list of people are the people to be envied, these are the people that are considered happy in God's eyes, and the list doesn't match up with what the world would say. The world would probably say something like, people that are to be envied are the rich, the famous, the people who have nice houses and nice cars, the people who are comfortable and financially secure, or the people who are powerful and have influence. These are the people that you need to envy. But God, he has a different list. Envy the people who are mourners, who are poor. And I wonder why. I think in reality, Jesus is flipping this on its head and he's saying, you know what? People who are of a high standard in the world's eyes, that my standard is different. I don't look at the same things the world looks at. And I think that those who are blessed are the people who recognize their brokenness, their need for God, the reality that they don't have it all together and they can't do it on their own. I think those are the people that make the list. And I think that we need to recognize our own brokenness, but not stay in that place. We don't stay in a place of saying, I'm so broken, I'm so bad, I'm so unable, I'm so inadequate. But we need to turn from that to focusing on God's righteousness, God's goodness, God's ability, and God. Focus on him. Because he has the ability to heal our brokenness, to fulfill our need for a relationship with him, and to provide for everything that we need. So what do we need to do about this? Happiness, righteousness, pursuing either or both, or doing things God's way? I want to suggest that we need to take a look at our hearts. Have you been focusing on your outward life or on your inward life this week? Which is taking more of your time and energy? Are you content and happy with where God has placed you? Or are you wishing you were somewhere else? Because the people that have things like that or are in that stage, they're actually the ones who are really happy, and you're missing out. God values our humility over pride, and he invites us into a relationship that will transform our ideals. And I'm so thankful for that. He wants to change our hearts because he cares deeply about our inner life. He doesn't care so much for how you look to other people as how you act toward them. And how you reflect his character in your life. Is his love evident through your life? He invites you today to respond to his spirit and to seek to be content, blessed in his eyes, not happy in the way the world says brings happiness. Because when we strive to pursue happiness in the way culture says we'll find it, we often get sidetracked from our real purpose and mission. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out." So what would the world look like if we all sought blessedness rather than happiness in the eyes of the world, or sought righteousness and doing things God's way over the things that we think we ought to do because of what we see? In the Beatitudes, Jesus calls people blessed, happy, to be envied, who wouldn't normally be called those things in our culture. And he shows that he values an inner life submitted to him. And I think that when we submit our inner lives to him, when we say, God, do with us what you will, like the prayer for the week mentioned, when we take time to be quiet before him and say, God, what would you have me do this week? What do you want of me? I think a lot of those things he would say, I love you no matter what your performance is like this week. I love you even though you don't do things perfectly today. But I want you to do what's right, to do what's good, to be kind to others, to be patient, to show love when you're tempted to hold on to your rights, to put others before yourselves. He values our inner lives that are submitted to him. But often we get sucked into the notion that riches, power, and success will bring us the happiness we desire. And today I want to leave you with a suggestion as we go into this series about the Beatitudes, that this is an exploration that we can take in the way to true happiness, submitting our lives to God and seeking what he values rather than what the world values. So as we go forward this week, I want to challenge you to take some time, look at your inner life. Am I submitting my day to God, my week to God? But am I giving myself grace when I don't do it perfectly like I think I should? Because his grace is way bigger than ours for ourselves often is. Thank you.
He values an inner life that is totally submitted to him. Let's respond by singing number 583, please. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. 583. Verse 4, please.
Please stand for the benediction. To those who have obtained a faith of equal privilege with ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Amen.